The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Hello everyone, Colin here. Just before you dive into this week's edition of Spin the Rally Pod, an apology from myself in particular for the quality of the recording this time round. Something went wrong and, well, we did consider binning it and going again, but, you know, there's an awful lot in this podcast. If you can put up with the quality, I'm sure you'll absolutely enjoy it. At normal service, I can guarantee you, will be resumed next week. So, if you can, please do enjoy this week's edition of Spin the Rally Pod. This is a post-Sector Rally Finland Spin the Rally Pod with myself, Colin Clark, and our head of media, David Evans. David, we just left Jyväskylä. We're on the road. We're heading south towards Helsinki. It's always a bit of a sad one. It's always a little bit, actually, on the other hand, a little bit of a relief because it's such an intense week, isn't it?
It is, Cole. It absolutely is. It's, and you know, literally, we stopped typing, writing, doing all of that stuff to clear out the Duffish house. Did that for half an hour. And you just have that one moment, don't you, where you just dipped. And there's such adrenaline running when the rally's running and you've got quotes coming in and loads going on, and then suddenly, you know, just packing your bag, that one normal kind of bit of process, it's enough to suddenly get back in the car and you think, oh my goodness me, I'm quite tired now. But it's been really early start. But anyway, blah blah, we are in the ultimately privileged position. We should never forget that. It's an absolute honour to do what we do.
No, absolutely. But what I suppose, you know, it is an intense rally, there's no question about that. Because it's the biggest rally we've got all season in terms of, you know, the atmosphere around the service park, the number of spectators, your status within Finland, within the World Rally Championship. Everything about this rally means that there's an awful lot going on, and it's great. It's really, you know, if we had a calendar of Rally Finland's, nobody would be talking about issues within the sport, would they?
Absolutely not. Equally, we'd be utterly exhausted. No, you're right. You know, I was just thinking there, you know, is Rally Finland is kind of almost, you know, if you're into WEC, it's probably the Le Mans. Yeah, so. It's the absolute blue ribbon. And you kind of think every year, ah, oh, that's Monte Carlo. Monte is great, but it's a sort of showpiece. Whereas this is the Festival of Speed. It's the one everybody wants to win. It's the one you have to be the bravest of the brave and the most committed. And you've only got to stand outside and watch those cars going past. It just takes your breath away. Every year we come away from here and say, if rally fans out there, if you get one chance to go abroad and watch a round of the World Championship, come to Finland.
Would you say Finland for sure?
I think so.
I have a bit of a dilemma with that one.
Sweden, Finland.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be Finland, just simply because you see other events through the year. We go to New Zealand. You know, these are great events. But still, you stand and just watch the raw speed at the side of the road of a car sideways at 200 kilometres an hour, absolutely pinned, you know, no hint of a lift, a good armful of opposite lock. It's breathtaking.
It really is. You know, that stretch of road in Ruuhimäki, now they didn't even use it for Shakedown, sadly, this year, did they? It's been used as a power stage many, many times. They went to Himos, the organisers this year, Himos, to the power stage on the hill by the ski slope. But you know, yeah, you're right, you stand at the side of the road in the Ruuhimäki and you get a view of those jumps, those crests on the white section of the road there, and it defies gravity, it defies logic, it defies belief.
Totally.
it's the biggest selling point we have in this sport, it really is. So yeah, so Rally Finland, you said it there, David, you know, you talked about the commitment needed to win this event. And you know, let's talk first about Elvin Evans and his commitment, because it was a tremendous performance from Elvin Evans. Listen, we know that he likes this type of event. He's won Rally Sweden before. He's won this one before. He goes well in Estonia. But there was a lot going against him this weekend. He rose above all of that, drove beautifully. Forget the fact that Robin Berra wasn't there. When Robin Berra made his mistake, Evans was right on his tail, right on his tail. He's had the most unbelievable Rally Finland. And you know, the only Brit to have won Rally Finland, he's won it twice now. Some pedigree, some performance.
Is that Chris Meek?
Sorry. Yeah, Chris Meek won it. Sorry. Yeah, of course, Chris Meek won it. Chris won it once, didn't he, with that?
Yeah, Citroen, 2016. Yeah. I can't remember the questions.
I'm just saying, it's just some performance from
him. It was. Know,
showing real pedigree, yeah. Having won it twice.
Yes, yeah, no, exactly that. And everything, every aspect of what Elvin did this week, was superb. In this time next year, people won't even remember that Calle Rovanperä crashed. What the people will remember is that two out of the last 3 years, Elvin Evans and Scott Martin have won Rally Finland. That is an incredible stat, and it's an incredible achievement. It's something they should both take massive pride from, and they should use it. And there's been enough knocks to their confidence, to their self-confidence. You think back, Colter, when we were hiking our way through those woods in Sardinia, to go and find them, and they had the mother and father of all accidents. Forget that. You know, absolutely forget that. Take this. Take the confidence and the self-belief and everything from what you've achieved here and erase all of those memories. The negativity's got to go.
I totally understand what you're saying, but I don't think you should ever forget those moments. I really don't.
When you come back to that bit of road next year,
remember exactly why I went wrong. But it is like anything in life.
Learn
from it. You talk to any successful businessman and he'll say that you can't be successful in business until you've been a failure at least once.
Yeah.
And you have to learn from those failures. Not that crashing was a complete failure. It probably was. I totally agree with what you say. You know, he has moved on. He has put those things behind him. He has learned from them. And Elvin Evans now, in terms of the championship, well, still an outside bet for this year's championship. But something that at the start of the weekend looked beyond him, looked unrealistic.
Yeah.
Now he's back on and looks possible. 25 points, I think the difference is. It is 25 points between Elvin Evans. With four rounds to go, he is going to have to win two, maybe three of those rounds. Not impossible.
Let me put it to you in a different way then. I think you're being carried along on this kind of wave of optimism.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to put you in a different scenario. So Elvin and Calais were tied on points coming into Finland, and Elvin retired. Calais scored 25 points and went from being dead level to a lead of 25 points with four rounds to go. You would say
exactly
absolute.
What I've just said. I would say exactly what I've just said. It's difficult,
I think,
but
it's
not impossible.
It's impetus, but actually that doesn't actually mean anything when you get to Greece. The only thing Calais has to do is, in Greece, he has to open the road.
Yeah.
So steady through Friday, he will still come away with a podium, even if the running order kind of crucifies him on the opening day. Top three is okay. So Elvin can nibble. Elvin is the one that has to risk everything. He has to win at least two of those rounds. You're dead right. To do that, he has got to be on his A game. He's got to have every bit of reliability with the car, with the hybrid, with the Pirellis. Everything has to go in his way. I'm not saying it's impossible. It's
so
possible.
David, I agree with you totally.
And you were right on outside chance.
But we go to Greece, and we know that anything can happen in Greece. You know, it is so easy to rip a wheel off, to damage suspension, to do something that costs you a result in Greece. So easy.
Yep.
And on top of that, you have to say Calle Rovanperä will have to open the road. That will cost him time. Don't forget, four rounds to go. Two of those rounds are tarmac. You're Elvin Evans driving well, Elvin Evans with confidence, Elvin Evans with self-belief on a tarmac round or Calle Rovanperä.
I'm thinking, what I'm trying to do in my head, I think it's the championship mathematically is still within Elvin's grasp, isn't it?
Well, of course it is.
Because no, I mean without
in his hands. Yeah. If he wins all four.
No. Well, yeah, sorry. In his hands, not yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's the best you can hope for is 8 points, isn't it? You can take a win over second is seven plus, best and then five over four
as opposed to 22. So that's
yeah, it's eight.
8 points. Right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So that he can do 32 points, and the lead is 25. So he's got to win. If he wins every rally and every power stage, does not matter what Calais does. Yeah. Elvin will be champion.
But that's unlikely, as we know. Really unlikely.
Yeah, not really sure. That's what I was thinking. That was what that pause was about.
I know you sometimes with arithmetic and maths, it takes you a little longer. Quite often you get it right, sometimes you get it wrong. I think you've just worked out better than me. I was trying to work something out of there. So you win the rally, you get 25 points.
Yeah.
Your second, you get 18 points.
Yeah, that's seven.
That's seven.
And five and over four is one.
That's okay. Yeah, that's good. We've confirmed that. 8 points. So anyway, you didn't answer my question.
What was the question?
The question was, Elvin Evans with confidence and self-belief on tarmac.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to dodge that a little bit. Elvin.
I would go with Elvin as well.
I would
go with Elvin. So there we go. So two of our remaining four rounds are on tarmac. One is a brand new event.
Elvin was ace in Japan, wasn't he, last year?
He really was, really quick. Unlucky, but really quick. Yeah. So it's not absolutely beyond him. He will need a little bit of help. Thierry Neuville could help him out by getting between himself and Robin Perra. It's not absolutely decided as yet. I think we've got quite a bit still to look forward to.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Should we stay with Toyota?
Yes, let's.
Stay with Toyota then. Let's talk about Takamoto Katsuta, another driver who really flourished here this weekend after, we say that Elvin's had a difficult season. It's not been that difficult. He won one event, or he's won one event already. But Takamoto definitely was having a bit of a struggle this year, and particularly after Estonia. He might have been on a bit of a low, he might have lacked confidence, but my goodness me, he came and he put some performance on here, showed good pace, discipline, David.
Yep.
I love the control that he showed, particularly after the spin he had yesterday.
Yep. It feels like we've been saying the same thing since yesterday lunchtime.
But this is our podcast, so we're allowed to say the same thing.
He didn't get flummoxed. He had the spin. He dropped the time. He brought Sunenen back into a fight that was kind of extinguished. I think, as we said yesterday, it was 16 seconds or something like that. Once you get north of 20, psychologically, it's a big deal in Finland. This is not a rally where you come and take big chunks of time. All of the speeds are similar, not enough junctions to slow and speed the cars up from. Taka-san handed all of that back to Teemu. He gave him another chance. And it was great because it gave us plenty to talk about. I was genuinely fearing for Katsuta-san then. I thought that this is it. He's going to be absolutely pushing too hard, taking risks, potentially putting the car off. Not a bit of it. And I was so impressed that even when he'd had the spin, he ignored what was going on the timesheets. He wound it back, did his own thing, rebuilt his confidence, and then started to move ahead and got past Teemu. This morning, for me, there was no question. He did what he had to do. Even when Teemu took the time out of him on the first stage this morning, Taka was uber relaxed. Yeah. First time through, just essentially high-speed recce, checking the notes, don't worry, boys, got this one in the bag. And he delivered. Well, and for me, that gives great confidence to Toyota moving forward into years to come. Really, Kalle Rovanperä is a driver that we don't know how much he wants to do in the future. You know, he's been very clear that he wants to have time to do stuff with his mates and just enjoy the spoils of the last 10, 15 years, which is remarkable for a 22-year-old. But that's what he's been doing since he's been 7 or 8 years old. He's been building, investing, just living the life of a rally driver, which is all he's ever wanted to do. But suddenly he's got to this point in his life at 22, and he's discovered drifting. And he's got this opportunity now that he can spend more time with his friends that he's sacrificed for 15 years because he's been out training and driving and doing all that stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if Kalle didn't hang around forever and was gone in a couple of years. Oh, not gone, but goes somewhere else, does
something. What was the point you were making about Katsuta?
Did realise I was talking a lot. Yeah, so Katsuta and Elvin look very, very differently in their careers. They've both got 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And for Toyota to know that there is a long-term future in both of those drivers is really refreshing.
I think you're right.
And I think earlier this year, still there were question marks over Taka. Taka showed consistency last year. This year, there was a little bit of up and down again. Estonia, as I said, he was on the floor. He struggled like heck. Here, he's come and he's built his confidence. Again, in the same way that Elvin has, just looks strong. Strong going away from here.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, obviously with the demise of Rovanperä, it was critical from Toyota's point of view.
Yeah.
Because he did perform out there. He scored good manufacturer points for them. So, I think everyone absolutely delighted. When he scored that podium in Japan, it was maybe the most popular podium we've seen in rallying for many, many years.
Yeah.
You know, when you looked at the backstory with Katsuta, how he came into rallying from circuit racing, how he had to work his way through the driver development program, and then to deliver on Japan's return to the championship, that podium, it was a great, great story. And he is such a popular driver with everyone in every team.
100%.
You know, really, really good. And you know, Jari Mäty, they have a really good, strong relationship there, don't they? And that's another important thing going forward.
We've been fortunate. You know, we are fortunate that we have good, really good links with Toyota. We work brilliantly with Hans de Bauw, the PR marketing guru. Yep. And at every level in that team, we are very fortunate in the access and the relationships we have. We've seen a lot this weekend, kind of behind the scenes. We've been around the drivers a lot, you know, before stages, after stages, in service. The camaraderie and the friendship and the family that is there. And it's not in the times when they're standing in front of the cameras. It's in the times when we're just standing, chatting away, talking absolute nonsense. And, you know, they were like a bunch of brothers, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
They
absolutely.
All work. The real, genuine friendship between Kalle and Taka and Elvin and Jari Mäty. Jari Mäty is kind of the older brother, I guess.
Well, he is. He's the boss, but he is the older brother. And what was great to see this morning, and have a look back on one of our YouTube videos, it was the start video from Sunday morning, just Jari Mäty and Taka-san. You know, that opening stage, you talked about the fact that Taka-san took it a little bit easy, lost a little bit of time to Teemu Suninen. He'd not driven that stage before, and he went across to Jari Mäty, and they were talking about a few corners, weren't they? You know, and it was just great to see, just literally minutes before they went into the stage, Taka-san had his phone out, and you know, they had the recce videos, and they were going through the corner, and Jari Mäty was taking him through the corner, telling him what to look out for, telling him how to approach it.
And he told him it was a flat left, and you thought he said it was a bad left.
But what's a bad left? Have you ever heard a corner described as a bad
but
left?
Well, yeah, we have bad lefts, don't we? Mere mortals do have bad lefts. But I did, for one moment, I thought, oh, my God, Colin's going to contradict him and say, no, I think
that's okay. No, you can take that one flat. I've done it in my little...
Yeah. But also, Toyota, you know, talking more about the kind of family aspect of Toyota, you know, you see, and dare we call him Papa Akio?
No, Jesus. Sorry. Please, David.
But in that family environment, this afternoon, when he got on the podium and Taka was the naughty boy, covering him in champagne and everything, and Elvin and Scotty and all of them, it was just brilliant. And the way that Akio Toyota-san, the automotive industry's biggest, most important person has slotted into this team. It's amazing. Just amazing.
And I'm sure there is an affectionate term in Japanese for the big boss, the team boss.
Yeah.
You know, there is, but I'm sure... Well, I'm not sure, but I guess it might not be Papa.
Yeah.
But you never know.
Apologies. It was a term of endearment.
It really was a term.
Total.
I appreciate it, and I'm sure Toyota-san would appreciate...
Just maybe if...
You're making an effort.
Big Hansy, if you're listening to that bit, don't listen too carefully and just whiz past that.
About that.
Are you getting a cold?
Yeah,
literally, as we're sitting here in the car.
I'm very, very sorry, sniffly, yeah. And do you know what it is? And I've been trying to turn the air conditioning off all weekend.
Well, just turn it away.
Someone's been driving around in thick trousers, a shirt, a t-shirt, a jumper all weekend, and the air conditioning's been up to the max. Might that be David Evans?
That would be me, but you're always going on, always getting
them
up.
I'm trying to turn it down, you turn it back up. I'm trying to
turn
it down.
No, it's on 2. I would have this on 4.
Exactly. I've turned it down from 4.
Yeah, well, put a jumper on.
Anyway, listen.
Life's better in a jumper.
Are we allowed to talk about the interview that was done with Akio Toyoda and some of the things that were said there, or should we save that for another day? Because he said some interesting things.
No, I think we saved that, because I'm not entirely sure when that story's going up, but we did have a fabulous chat with him.
Really,
he's an amazing, amazing man.
And the good news is that it's all very positive.
The
good news is it's positive, really positive in terms of...
The good news is the story is going up on Dirtfish.
And it's a positive story on Dirtfish. Positive, positive story on Dirtfish, which is great. It's great news. Not all stories are positive, but most of them are positive. So Toyota, looking good, looking really, really good. Yari Matti. Yari Matti. It's got to be Yari Matti and Yuho, because it was a proper, it was a double act. It was almost a comedy double act at times. But such fun. I don't think I've seen a crew having quite so much fun in a very, very long time. And I don't think I've ever seen Yari Matti having so much fun in a car.
No, it was lovely to see. And as we said, just to open the door and see that beaming smile, and actually not immediately. I said this to you the other day, it's not a beaming smile, you know, it was that quizzical, that, don't talk to me yet, I've got to do this, thinking about diff settings, I'm thinking about ramp angles, I'm thinking about spring rates, and then, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be enjoying myself.
I don't have to think about those things.
And the big smile comes back, and he's just one of the best people in the World Championship. He's an amazing guy. Lovely to see him, and just great. We both talked about this privately before the event. We feared that, and we certainly feared when we got into the event and Yari Matti started saying, the feeling's coming, I'm nearly there, just a couple of changes and I'll be there. You start to think, oh my goodness me, we have heard this so many times in Finland, it's going to happen, he's going to stack it. And he didn't
even come close to stacking it, certainly not from what we saw. He did say he had a bit of a moment today on the final day.
But you know,
it is small moments. Compared to moments that Yari Matti's had in the past, these aren't moments, are they?
No, not in the slightest. And the really interesting thing, and just with absolute sincere humility, you were busy doing another interview, and I said to him, what did you expect coming here? What, you know, in those quiet moments when you're alone and what you're thinking, you know, you've got your sort of tone of voice and yeah, we'll talk about the top six and blah, blah. But actually, what did you think in your head? He said, I've got to be honest, I was looking at Rally 2 cars thinking if I could just stay ahead of the Rally 2 cars. And you think, crikey. You know, but he's been away. He'd never driven a hybrid car, never driven this Rally 1 car. He didn't know.
Nope.
And it was just a lovely moment that you always get the truth from Yari Matti.
Yeah. Not so many years ago, a world-class driver, but, you know... As you say, he doesn't come into this as the... What did, how many rounds did he win in the championship, David?
I can't remember. It was 18, something like that.
You know, an absolute top-quality driver that should have been world champion.
Yeah.
But came into this, as you say, with a degree of humility. And he absolutely loved it. And again, just to mention the stand-in team boss, Akio Toyoda. We talked a little bit about him. But you know, he genuinely he did more or less... the duties that you would have expected Yari Matti to do. He turned up in the media zone, okay, with an entourage that perhaps the King of England might have been proud of.
Yeah.
There were a few people with him, as you would expect.
There were, but answered every question.
Every question, and you know, approached us with a smile on his face, and was quite happy to talk to everyone. He did a great job Mr. Toyota, and we do thank him. And she said, Papa Toyota, what do you mean?
You said it now. Dearie, me. All right, move on. Move on. Just great to see him.
Yeah, really great to see him.
And yeah, congrats.
Looking forward to watching Gary Matty as well. He's a busy boy. He's going to the Lahti Rally this coming week with his dad. And what are they driving? Two of them are driving the two.
They're both Sanica. I think there's an ST165 and an ST185, so I'm not sure.
Are those the cars that we saw at the place
last year? Yeah, so one of them would be a very early 90s car, one of them would be a 92, 93 car. Lahti Historic is one of the best events. A lot of the stages obviously used to feature in Thousand Lakes and Rally Finland. And then when he's done, that's I think a Saturday event. When he's done that, he's not sort of straight on the road. A couple of weeks at home.
Well, the same weekend as
Greece
is Acropolis Rally. He heads to Japan for one of our favourite events in one of our favourite places.
In Hokkaido, heading up to Obihiro is it a Japanese round or?
I don't know.
He's going to drive the Rally 2 car.
Interestingly, you and I looked slightly quizzically at Heikki Kovalainen. Was it Heikki Kovalainen that was telling us?
Yes.
Someone was telling us, and we said, well, how can... He said, yeah, that car's already been driven in Japan by Takamoto Katsuta's father. And it's like, well, it's not homologated yet, is it? You're allowed to drive them.
Drive non-homologated cars.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, will it be homologated when Yari Matti drives it?
No.
Okay. We'll watch with interest, though, because the rally is fantastic. Really, what was it there for? Maybe 4 years, WRC?
Yeah, was it? It was around something like that. And we should stop now, because if we go down that road of talking about Obihiro, we may never come back to
tempting.
We
to
both
go.
Absolutely yeah. adore yeah, Noodle Alley.
Oh, my goodness me.
Ice cold Sapporos.
Even your Obihiro itself, a beautiful little city.
Oh, fantastic.
But the second you go
we
out
are going
town,
down that road, by the way.
Into the mountains. Remember the snowy mountains? Remember the stage was cancelled because they had 2 or 3 k's of snow on it?
Snow, yeah.
And that wasn't even Rikubetsu, which
was
the
Rikubetsu, yeah, the coldest place. Is it the coldest place in
Coldest place in Japan, yeah, with the most snow. And that's when Marcus Grönholm crashed on the ski slope.
The biggest temperature differential.
Yeah.
Just a fabulous place. Japan is an amazing... It's one of my top three, I would say, favourite countries. Love the people, love the food, and just love the place.
And then this is the thing when... We talked earlier on about, you know, if you had to say to someone who's new to rally, you've got one rally to go to, which rally would it be? There are so many different rallies with different characteristics. You would go to Japan for the fans and the cultural experience. You might not go there for the quality of the stages, although they're not bad.
I didn't like the stages
last year.
Not at all.
No, I'd agree with you. I'm thinking Obihiro.
Yeah, and I didn't like the stages in Sapporo. They were not a patch on Obihiro.
The year we lost one stage to snow was Sapporo. Wasn't Obihiro.
Was it?
Yeah. Wasn't it the year that Duval had the bad accident with the co-driver?
Patrick Pavato.
Yeah, I think it was the same place, same area. Up in the hills up there. It wasn't the same year, same area. So there we go. Yeah, Japan. Lucky man to be doing so much driving. Yeah, Toyota, we have covered. And they deserved our time, David. They had a great rally, particularly after the enormous disappointments of Finland last year.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hyundai, big progress. Thierry Neuville second, Timo Suninen fourth. Disappointed, clearly, that Esa-Pekka Lappi put his car off the road. But second and fourth in Finland, a rally that they have really, really struggled with in the past. Will they go away happy?
Yes, they've got to. They've got to. They could be a touch disappointed. But no, I think it's hard to know, isn't it? I think If you'd said EP was second, then he'd been flying early on and he'd just failed to match Elvin, they would perhaps be disappointed with that. Particularly the sort of rise and rise of EP through this season. But Thierry, he's been nowhere in Finland for the last 10 years. So for him, fantastic result. And for Hyundai, also been nowhere. Apart from last year when they won. Of course.
But didn't I say at the start that we had a disappointing year in Finland? No, it's Toyota that had a disappointing year in Finland last year. And that is because...
But it was Oit Tänak. It was Oit Tänak that won last year, not Hyundai. That car shouldn't have been anywhere near a win.
No, it should not.
But it was Oit and his superhuman powers that did that.
I think he'd be really, really pleased with things. And I think Neville would be pleased with his fortnight's work, 2 weeks' work here, his work in Estonia, his work here. Your low point of his career, certainly of the season, maybe you could argue if his career wasn't the Safari Rally this year, with what went on.
Yeah.
You know, just shocking, absolutely shocking. You said it dropped him out of the championship hunt. Yes, it probably did. But he goes away from here with 22 points closer to Kalle Rovanperä. You know, we talked about Elvin Evans and whether he had a realistic chance. There's no way you would say that Neuville has a realistic chance, but rallying is rallying, and what we know about rallying is anything can happen. And if Neuville can build some momentum, and maybe Kalle and Toyota have a couple of off rallies, who knows, we go to Greece, remember the 1-2-3 for Hyundai in Greece last year. I think they did a good job. I think they will have a small beer in celebration this evening, and they will chart the progress that they're making. They've got the right people in place now. Effects de Maison is there. The effect is beginning to show, according to Thierry Neuville. So, yeah, they're going very much in the right direction. Now, that was a little bit brave, David. You were being a bit brave trying to get past that camper van there.
Not a fan of camper vans.
So, anyone in particular we should be talking about? Maybe Teemu Suninen. Let's save a word for Teemu Suninen, David, because he had a really good audition for that role at Hyundai. He did everything that was asked of him, showed a bit of pace when he was allowed to show a bit of pace. Disappointed. He goes away a little disappointed from Finland. He really was targeting a podium here, but he cannot be disappointed with his return to top-level rallying over the past two events.
No. Superb. More than we expected from Teemu.
Yep.
I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It certainly, like you say, he can't be disappointed. He wanted a podium today, but I think he perhaps scared himself a wee bit
on coming down that hill.
First run in him, Austria. He said he would do the same again, but still, suddenly I think turned out quite literally on his head. If he put the car off there and retired from the event, you'd have to say that potentially was the door closed on anything. Yep. At the minute, the door is very much open.
Wide open? Just open? Wide open, is it?
Half open. Okay. I personally think I would, strategically, I would be putting him in the car for Greece. Much as we absolutely love Danny and we think Danny's there, looking towards next year again, it would make more sense from my side to put Teemu in there, just to understand where his pace is on the slower rallies.
Look at this, David. We've just come to the section on the road where we come to this, what would you call it, an emergency airstrip. It's quite incredible. At least these airstrips are dotted around the roads of Finland. It's where we get, it's about 2 kilometres of absolutely straight as you like road. All of a sudden the road has widened, the trees have been taken back, there are no cat's eyes, there are no lights at the side of the road.
You're not allowed to call them cat's eyes.
There are no, what do they call them?
Light things in the middle of the road. There's no arm code in the middle of the road.
There's nothing. So if you brought a Hercules transporter plane and you stopped the traffic, you could land it on this bit.
Easily.
Really impressive.
At either end of this 2 kilometres stretch, it's almost a football pitch size turning circle for the planes as well, isn't it?
Big jets. Apparently the rocks
at
the side of the road.
I was just going to say,
a bit like those, what do they call it? Thunderbirds. Apparently it opens up.
Yeah.
And inside the rocks you can park your jet plane.
It's incredible, isn't
apparently
it?
Apparently that's true, right?
No, it
that's
is. Well,
true. You've said it's true every time we come past here, so I believe
I'm just looking for where the rocks are.
I've never seen even the rocks. Incredible doors that open up in the rocks. There we are. So we've now passed that. That was quite incredible.
It was.
So, table sooner, door is partly open. I agree with you.
Put them in the car in Greece. Put them in the car for me and see.
They can't do that anymore, though, can they?
What?
Because Sordo's named for Greece. Yeah. You would go with sooner ahead of Sordo for CER?
I would. Yes, I would. I would, because it depends. I would wait and see where you are after Greece. It depends if you're looking at short term or longer term. If you're looking at longer term, then you will sacrifice any potential points. Let's face it, if you tell Teemu Suninen to do CER, get some experience, bring that car home, he's not going to bring it home lower than probably 6th or 7th.
Nope.
And if both of the Hyundais in front of him fail, he's probably going to be 4th or 5th. That's not catastrophic in terms of points. What you've done at the same time is you've generated a whole load of data to make a more informed decision about whether Teemu is a credible answer for a third seat next year. At the minute, he's shown that he can drive brilliantly and take some great points and great results and turn in some amazing stage performances where you'd expect him to.
Yeah.
There's no science there. We knew he was quick in quick roads.
Yeah, absolutely. But he's done all that was asked of him. I think he's done all he could. It's now up to Cyril Abitbol, and you know what? The silly season, I don't think, we haven't seen it yet. It will start, I'm sure, shortly. And very much part of the merry-go-round, that's those silly season rumours, will be Teemu Suninen. I like the look of it.
Don't we talking about silly season? You know, I asked Elvin this question tonight about what contract over the end of the year, what are your thoughts? And so the PR bloke from, obviously not Big Hansy Hands, rolled his eyes. Oh. Sorry, mate, get a bit of a journalistic background in you. You've got no idea about how to do our job. These are questions you absolutely ask every time, because nothing surprises anybody.
And Finland is where, traditionally, in terms of rallying, deals are done.
100%.
Deals are done, and at least negotiations are started in Finland.
Exactly.
And it will build momentum.
So let me rewind you back a few years. 2019, and Ott Tänak wins a world championship, obviously staying at Toyota. He's off to Hyundai.
Yeah.
Nobody saw that coming.
No one saw that coming.
Nobody rolled their eyes at that question.
They did not.
They did not.
More to come on that, I'm sure. And, you know, if we look at history, if we look at the way things have been reported in the past, if we look at who's broken the biggest stories in rallying over the past two decades, chances are you'll read about it first on dirtfish.com.
Absolutely not sure about that. But it's, like you say, Colin, it's the time and the place where these stories start.
Yeah.
And I would say now, it's almost a little bit, is it a bit late? I don't know.
We'll wait and see.
Let's face it. People have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
You mentioned Ott Tänak to Toyota, or from Toyota to Hyundai. Ott Tänak to M Sport. It was another tough one, wasn't it? On the back of a disastrous Estonia, it was another tough one for completely different reasons, but still really difficult for all the boys and girls at M Sport, and Ott and Martin in particular, to take.
Enormously. And just feel for them. They all want it so badly. They're all trying so hard. And sometimes the harder you try, the harder it is to get these results.
Brother Beyond, the harder I try.
Yeah.
Just came to me there, David. You've been playing music over all our little audio pieces all week.
I'm not going to reach your Brother Beyond.
No. I quite like them. Didn't you like Brother Beyond?
Not so much. But it's true, though, isn't it? You know, the more that, you know, a fast bowler wants a wicket, the more he's not going to hit the target. And it's just, Tanak said it himself. Goaty went home early, feet up in front of the fire. We saw on his social media, time for a reset. And it is. And I spoke to Rich Milner, and Rich said, we all need a reset. We've all been working ridiculous hours. Estonia, car rebuild, straight into Finland. It's been absolutely crazy for the team. And they're not the biggest team by any stretch.
No.
You know, the post-pandemic, they lost an awful lot of people. As in, they were forced to make redundant an awful lot of people at M-Sport. A lot of those positions haven't been filled because there isn't the finances within that team to develop as many people, or to have as many people doing those jobs as they would like. Everything is stretched at M Sport. Everybody needs a wee bit of a break, a couple of weeks off, go and get some holiday, and come back refreshed and ready in Greece. And as much as I want to see Elvin winning, Thierry winning, championship fight coming alive, I really want to see Oik winning. I really want to see M Sport winning. Pierre-Louis Loubet on the podium, just to repay the commitment, the hard work. People can say whatever they want, Colin. You know, you and I have spent a lot of time at Dovenby. We've seen those people going into work when it's dark in the mornings. Yeah, we've seen them coming out of work when it's dark. And you know, that's not in the winter. That's in the summer months.
Yeah.
You know, they put the hours in as much, more than anybody else in the championship, and they deserve it. And every time you get one of these hammer blows of the engine in Estonia, then Tanak's issue Friday morning, it was just a killer. It really was.
Stage 3 of the rally. Stage 3
shocker.
Of the rally. Just really difficult to take for everyone there. So yeah, Oik now has a bit of time to go away and reset. There is no question that Oik Tanak is still, in terms of his ability, David, he's still right up there. We saw those stage wins in Estonia, started off this event with a stage win as well. The pace, the performance is still there from Oik Tanak. The desire to prove perhaps people wrong is perhaps greater than it has ever been with Oik Tanak.
I would say so.
They just need to find that happy zone where the car and the driver gel and are at one with each other. And it's just a little bit of a struggle just now, but it will come. It will come, I'm absolutely sure of that. So there we are. Let's move on to WRC2. No, let's not. Let's talk about Rally 2, because it's a bugbear of yours and it's beginning to become a bugbear of mine. I don't like all this nonsense. WRC2, Rally 2. It should just be one category. It's nonsense that Oliver Solberg is the quickest of our Rally 2 cars by quite some considerable margin, is sixth overall in the event, and there's absolutely no recognition of that. He doesn't get a podium, he doesn't get a celebration, he doesn't get a trophy, he doesn't get anything. It is time we ended this nonsense, because it's confusing. We shoot ourselves in the foot as a sport, and we should not be doing it. It needs to be looked at.
So just to put a bit of context around that, obviously in WRC2, you choose 7 rounds and you take scores from 6 of those 7 rounds. You don't have to, I think you only select your rounds when you enter the event. So you don't even up front at the start of the year, you don't even have to say, those are my 7. But for me, it is ridiculous. It's something, as you say, it's annoyed me for years that I can understand it, because the events, those 7 events that get chosen by WRC2 runners, they're going to get a load of entries.
But can I ask you, you said that earlier, David, but I don't understand that. There's a system for dealing with that, and it's called rotation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It
you
is.
Know, yeah, we can't give it to you this year, so you might miss out on a few entries this year, but you have it next year.
Yeah, I completely agree, Colm. 100%. That, you know, that was just the counter argument to my own. But for me, stop doing this.
Too much time with me. Too much time arguing with yourself. Too much
time. No, then forget it. Stop it. Yep. Stop it. Yep. Andrew Wheatley, stop it now. Stop this madness.
Madness.
And just give us 7 rounds, head to head. There you go.
Everyone knows at the start of the year. Everyone prepares at the start of the year. Yep. There's no confusion. There's no nonsense where someone goes, well, so that kid...
Is he registered here? Is he?
He's fastest by 30 seconds. He's not won anything.
Yeah. No, doesn't make sense. And if outside of those seven WRC2 rounds, there is absolutely nothing stopping Oliver Solberg, all of those people competing in WRC2, going and doing the other six or seven rallies in the championship.
And the ones that are progressive, the ones that really are ambitious, will go because they'll want... And the ones that have the funding, yeah, will go because they'll want the experience.
Yep.
Really felt for Oliver Solberg out there today when he was more or less ignored after his wonderful performance. Now, all that we've said there about Solberg does not detract from Sami Pajari's performance, winning...
No, because equally, Sami Pajari, Oliver, Jari Huttunen were all in a big fight.
Yeah.
And then Huttunen retired with whatever reason yesterday afternoon, parked up at the side of the road. That took the pressure off Sami Pajari. At the start of the weekend, I said to Sami, what do you want from this? Are you interested to fight with Oliver Solberg and Johan Rossell, these people who aren't registered for points? And I can't remember what he said. But it was... Ultimately, they all want to be the fastest Rally 2 driver. Sorry, listeners. It's been quite a long weekend. Sorry, Sammy, as well, for not remembering. But I think, ultimately, when you're registered for WRC 2 points, primarily, those 25 points are everything to you. You are not going to jeopardise, and this was my point. I think once Huttunen had dropped out, Sammy had a big old lead. There was no reason for him to engage in any kind of a fight with Solberg.
No.
So I'm sure that took a little bit of edge off his speed. But absolute credit where it's due. Oliver Solberg, Elliot Edmondson, stunning result for you boys, and the same to Sammy.
Sammy, absolutely. Listen, you know, we are in Finland, we're in the home of Toyota. The Finns are, you know, we had a bit of a lean spell, didn't we, with the unfinished drivers coming through. We waited a long time to get Kalle Rovanperä, but you know, the Rovanperä effect is very much there. Pajari, a lot of talk about him. David, how do you rate him as a potential?
I there's no doubt he is an absolute talent that will go forward. You look at him and you think he's the same age as Kalle Rovanperä, and you think, well, why are you messing about in Rally 2? Why are you not doing what Kalle's doing? Kalle's a freak, you know, in terms of potentially his ability, and certainly in the progression from being an 8-year-old all the way through to where he is now.
Yeah, and you don't forget, timing worked for Rovanperä.
Yeah.
There was an opportunity at Toyota. You know, that's not been the case over the years with a lot of young drivers with big potential. There have just been no openings in manufacturer teams.
Well, there's no current manufacturer coming in that a 16-year-old driver would go and do some endurance testing
absolutely
with.
Absolutely right. I like Sami Pajari. I like the look of him. He's got a lot of pace.
A lot of pace in Finland. Let's see.
No, we've seen pace in other countries from him. To be fair,
no, that's right.
In the lower classes, we've seen it. You know, in the Rally 2 car, you were yet to see it, but he's shown pace in the past. Second was Adrian Formoe, and fourth was Andreas Mikkelsen.
Yeah.
David, Mikkelsen, talking about the championship, leads the championship now, but it is just all very complicated. Rod Rossell is still there or thereabouts, wasn't scoring points here. We don't know.
Andreas needs to, sadly, Andreas needs to go and find some money to go to Greece. That's the issue for him, isn't it? It seems ridiculous that. And you have to say, I said to Andreas this afternoon, that it really bugs me that this whole position he's in with Skoda, it was brought about by Hyundai.
Yeah.
You signed, yes, your agreement's there, blah, blah. But then equally, you could turn that one around and say that Skoda's, as soon as Mikkelsen had said to Skoda, I don't need you, I've got this other job elsewhere, then Skoda could find and deploy budget in the direction of Sami Pajari. So I guess in some ways it's kind of helped some of the younger drivers progress. Okay, absolutely. At the expense of Andreas, but you could also say that Andreas has had his shot.
Yeah, perhaps indeed. And you know, drivers at very different ends of their careers, driving with very different motivations. Pajari, I do like. I like him, by the way. Mikkelsen, look at Mikkelsen as well, obviously. But Pajari, I've always liked. He's an interesting character, he really is. And I think he has the potential to do a job, but we will wait and see. So there we are. David, the sun, remarkably, it is now nearly 6:30 in the evening. The sun's still quite high in the sky. I saw a sign back there saying Helsinki, 195 kilometres.
Yeah, it's, we're not far away.
We're
getting there.
We're enjoying the drive down, talking
24 degrees. It's probably hotter than it's been all rally week, isn't it?
We've not seen much above 21, 22 degrees, have
no.
we?
No. And in fact, we've been seeing much more around 14, 15.
Perfect weather for going for a wee swim in one of these lakes. Do you fancy going for a wee swim?
No.
No,
it's probably not good for
sauna?
Your cold.
You up for a sauna?
You, that would do your cold some
it
good.
It probably would, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Just sweat it out.
Get yourself in the sauna.
Yeah, well, that's where sauna. We're heading now. Folks, thank you very much. We'll go for a sauna. If you want to go for a sauna later on, a macaron and beer in the sauna.
No.
You're not joining me.
Okay.
It's a terribly kind of social thing in Finland.
But let's
get over this problem you've got.
What's the sauna setup? Is it
sauna etiquette?
Yeah.
You can have a little white towel, but if they're not prudes in this country.
They're not.
As we noticed.
My God. We've got to, this is not, this, it's a family show, but. So we arrived in Himosh, and Colin and I literally were looking across, and not looking, there was a building with loads of flags, and we were both looking over at the building, and then our eye was just sort of taken down, and there was a hot tub just at the bottom of the building. A Finnish gentleman, you carry on, I can't bring myself to have erased it from my memory. Rather large fella.
Obviously enjoyed his reindeer steaks. Rather large fella. Waddled out the door of this building, and honestly, there were thousands of people out the front and milling around. Waddled out, not a stitch of clothing on, straight into the hot tub.
The noise that you and I made.
My goodness me, was that a naked fellow? So, but that's why it is here.
In that case, I've changed my mind.
You know, come again. No? Alright, well, I'm off. Off for a sauna on my
own. Might go for some reindeer steak.
I'm sure. And lingonberries, how do you say it?
Lingonberries and mashed potato.
And a nice glass of wine.
Not, we've not had any. In all fairness, we have eaten the most appalling food.
Yeah.
Burger Kings and absolute nonsense.
No, nothing wrong with Burger Kings, but yeah.
No. Well, yeah.
We've eaten the most appalling diet.
So are you live on air? You are committing to coming to the restaurant. I'll come to the sauna if you'll come to the restaurant.
Well, I'm still considering the restaurant, but quite possibly. We'll let you know next week what happened in the hotel in Helsinki.
All the intimate details.
All the details. I don't know how intimate they'll be. Folks, once again from Rally Finland, the sector Rally Finland. You've been listening to myself and David Evans discussing all things rally. Thank you for joining us on Spin the Rally Pod. We'll talk to you all again in a week's time.